decided not to wear a tie tonight, trying to eliminate some of the stress from my life. Wouldn't it be nice if it was that easy? Or would it be? When Brother Don called me, he asked if I would speak at the spring meeting. I think I paused for a little while, and he said, "Your subject is stress management." I think I paused a while longer. And then I said, "I think you've got the wrong man for the subject." Now, either he didn't hear me or he didn't want to hear me. I'm not sure which it was. But he told me they would send me a letter and everything, so I agreed and hung up and began to think about the subject and feel my stress level rise. The question was, why me? Certainly I have no professional experience in the area. As I thought about it for a while, I thought, well, maybe it was from my lifetime of farming, raising a family, and being an elder for 35 years, that maybe they thought that somewhere along the line I had experienced a little bit of stress somewhere. I thought about looking in, and I had available to me, if I wanted them, some studies and statistics and so forth, and I decided not to do that because that's really not me. I just want to take the approach that that we can look into God's Word and we can find the things that we need in order to direct our lives. Now, I understand that some people take the approach that we should just give everything to God and He will take care of it and it will be all right. And I appreciate that thought, and certainly that has to be the forefront of our thought. But I think we also realize that sometimes there are chemical and hormonal imbalances that just have to have some intervention of some sort. And I think some of us probably even allow ourselves to get to the place in our lives where we don't dwell enough on the Word of God, that we get overstressed, and there has to be some type of intervention in that also. But that's the last you're going to hear me talk about any medical aspect of the subject, because that's as deep as I can go with that part of it. There were a number of things that were mentioned in the letter, particularly all different age groups and so forth, and I'm not going to speak to each one of them individually, because simply we don't have the time to go into the depth of them. I don't think was really the purpose that they were looking for. I just want to speak to the regular activities that we have, regardless of age, and hopefully the things that we have for you tonight will relate in some way to where you are in life. What is stress? Well, it's not a word that we find in the Scripture, so I went to my Webster's Dictionary. I was kind of interested in what it had to say. My first thought was, is stress a positive or is it a negative? And I think in general, we look at stress as a negative. Well, is it? Well, let's find out. Definition of stress: emotional or intellectual strain or tension. Another one is special significance or emphasis to stress a point. And there's two points that I intend to stress before I'm through tonight. In music, it's an accent. In mechanics, it's a force exerted, such as strain, tension, or torsion. It is a system of forces that causes a deformity in the body, or it may be the resistance of a body to external forces. So in looking at that, there are certainly negative aspects to stress, but I believe there are also some positive things that we need to look at and try to build upon. Before this weekend is over, hopefully, the Lord willing, there's going to be 8 lessons that are going to be presented. And probably the pressure, the influence, or whatever you want to call it, on each one of the speakers has been just a little bit different for each one of us. So we look at stress in what it does for us. It can be a motivator. It can be something that really challenges us and gets us to do the things that we need to do. In sports, there are times when it comes down to what we call nitty-gritty time, or when the game is on the line. There are some players that simply want the ball in their hands, or in other sports activities, they want to be the one that's the decider, because that's just the way some people are made. So it does become a challenge to them, or it becomes something which motivates them. So it certainly is not all negative. We all experience stress in some ways in our lives. So really the challenge for us is, as the subject says, to try to manage that. Something that's very much like it would be peer pressure. I know it seems to me like it's had a very negative connotation too, and I really feel that peer pressure can be a very positive influence in our lives. That if we really want to encourage people to do the things that will be pleasing to the Lord, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we should be wanting to influence them and try to, in a sense, pressure them into the things so that they'll look into the Word of God and see the things that they ought to be doing. So peer pressure is not bad if it's channeled properly. We're all different in many ways. How many of you paid your taxes Monday? That was the last day, in case you don't know it and you've missed it. You had 3 extra days this year. So, but many people, for a number of reasons, will wait till that last day to pay the taxes. There are some good reasons, and there are some bad. Sometimes we're just simply a procrastinator, and we just put it off as long as we can until our backs are against the wall, and then we know we need to do something about that. I know there's one person in the audience said his tax man is glad to see him come because he knows the tax season's over. So, and there can be good reasons for that. There can be very good reasons for that. Our nature affects the way we react to different situations. Another example is about a week ago, I was doing something which I guess some considered a little bit risky at least, and one of the individuals that saw what I was doing was very frantic and a little bit disturbed and told the other individual, "Aren't you going to stop him?" The other individual said, "He's going to do what he's going to do." And neither one were necessarily the wrong thing. What that just showed the differences that we have in the way we approach things, in our attitudes, and it's good that we know that. So therefore, when we're looking for ways to manage our stress, we need to realize that it is in many ways a personal thing. Others may encourage us and they may give us advice in the decisions that we make, but in the final analysis, the decision is going to be ours. So pressure in many ways, the stress is something that is self-imposed. We make schedules, hoping that we can maybe make that schedule work. We accept requests and many other things that we bring into our lives which complicate our lives, but if they are something that needs to be done, something that's worthwhile doing, then it's something we need to manage our lives and get a schedule so that we can accomplish these things. Do we know how to say no? Do we know when to say no? I have a neighbor that is a very good finish carpenter, very much in demand. He has a day job, which he works for a company. And he likes to work a lot of evenings and into the nights. And in fact, I hardly ever see him because he's always somewhere doing some sort of work. And there are people constantly wanting him to do something, and I've never heard him say no. I have seen him not follow through with his yes, but I've never seen him say no. We were walking through Walmart yesterday, and there was a mother and father who were looking at a small girl's clothes. Just happened to hear as we walked by, and the father say, "You know I have a hard time saying no." And so, you know, we need to know ourselves and know the situations that we put ourselves in. When we agree to do something, do we mean it, or is it just something that we hope that we can do? Are we really complicating our lives many times in ways that we don't need to? God doesn't take decisions away from us, but He does try to influence us to make the right ones. In Philippians, the 2nd chapter and the 13th verses, it says, "It is God who works in you both to will or to want to and to do of His good pleasure." That's why we have His Spirit, and we need to let His Spirit work in our lives to the will of God. Some things are stressed to the breaking point. The car that you came in today, at some point in time, in its prototype, was put on a track or put on a rack somewhere where they stressed that vehicle in every way that they could think of, wanting to know how long parts were going to last, how long they would last. But they would take them till they came to the breaking point. Well, sometimes we find ourselves doing that to ourselves, but stressing us to the breaking point is something that God will never do to us. And this is the first point I want to stress tonight, is that God will never expect more from us than what He has equipped us to do, nor will He test us with situations we can't handle. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and the 13th verse, there is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man, but who will not allow you to be tempted above or beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. You know, sometimes we say, you know, I just couldn't take it. It just was more than I could handle. I just couldn't take it anymore, and that's why I reacted the way that I did. We need to understand that when we do that, that's our choice, not God's choice. We have made bad choices if we place ourselves in a position where we say, I just can't handle it, or I can't take it anymore. We need to look at, you know, what we're doing to ourselves and what we're doing to our lives, the schedules that we're making, the choices that we are making in our lives. What is our motivation? If we have a say in the matter for accepting situations that stress us, is it a negative stress? Yes. Is it a positive? Yes. One of the things I learned many years ago, that if I wanted to grow in Christ, I needed to take challenges. If I just constantly saying no when I was asked to do something, how much do you think I would grow? I want you to think about that in your own life. Sometimes you're asked to do something and you think, well, you know, I've never done that before. Well, none of us have ever done anything before until we do it the first time. And so challenge yourself, whether it be in speaking to someone about Christ, whether it be asked to lead songs, whether it be anything that you are capable of doing when you do when you're asked, challenge yourself. If our motivation is to do the right thing, we need to move forward in faith, knowing that God will be there. Now, faith doesn't necessarily make events in our lives easy, but it does make them possible. We reach some situations in our life and we say, when will this ever end? Emotional pain can be as painful or more painful than a beating. A broken heart is more painful than a broken bone. But knowing that God can heal a broken bone is evidence to us that He can heal a broken heart. That He has the power, not only the power, but He has the will to help us in our lives. In 1 Peter, the first chapter, beginning in verse 3, Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if needs be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." What really is the test of our mettle? And what do we bring on ourselves? The Lord knows the thing that makes us better. He's going to provide those opportunities, and He's going to see us through those opportunities and whatever those tests might be. We've been studying the Psalms on Wednesday nights at home, and Mark mentioned the writings of Asaph. And one of the things that really stuck out with me in the Psalms, whether they be of David and some of the other psalmists, such as Asaph and Heman and others that wrote, was how there was this, seemed like there was this constant pressure, this constant duress, especially David. When we look at his life, we know that there was so much going on. when he was young, there was Saul that was after him. And then when he became king, there were the enemies of the tribes that were around them. There was the things that were happening from within his own people that were wanting to bring him down, even from within his own family. It just seemed like there was something going on all the time. And we know that David made some terrible mistakes in his life. Yet, in reading those Psalms, when he would, almost every one of them, when we come to the end, though he asked for God's mercy and he said, "Would you get these enemies away from me?" he realized that his only hope was in God. When he did this, he reminded himself that his temptations and his trials were temporary. And that's what we need to remind ourselves. Never forget what God has done for you. In Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 6th verse, he says, "Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with what? With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to the Lord." We ask and we ask, and it's been mentioned before, but do we thank Him? Certainly we don't thank Him enough. But when we do that, we are realizing or admitting to ourselves that God really has done many things for us and that He will see us through. The trial will end. There is light at the end of the tunnel, if not in this life, in the life to come. You suppose Job had any stress in his life? Well, Mark mentioned him this afternoon, and I want to look at a few things also concerning Job. And I want to begin in chapter 14. The first thing, I guess, we studied Job not, I believe it was just last year, and I wonder how many of us would like for God to draw us to the attention of Satan the way the Lord did Job. And I think this illustrates to us how well God knows us. He knew the things that Job could handle. And I want you especially, I'm going to read a couple other verses in Job, but when I get to the end, there's a very interesting point that Job makes. I want to begin in Job the 14th chapter, beginning in verse 13. He says, "Oh, that you would hide me in the grave," and then we see the anguish, the agony that he's going through, "that you would conceal me until your wrath is past, that you would appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my hard service I will wait till my change comes." And then in the 19th chapter, in verse 25 of that 19th chapter, remembering what he said in 14, he said, "Will a man live again? If a man dies, shall he live again?" Verse 25 and 19, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he shall stand at the last, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me." And then go with me, if you're following along, to the 42nd chapter of Job, and the first 5 verses of that. "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me." Now listen to Job's reply. "I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. I have heard of you by the hearing of your ear, but now my eyes see you." Do you suppose that any of us really, all we're doing is hearing of God, or do we see God? We're not going to see God unless we experience these difficulties of life. These trials and these temptations show us who God is. They show us what He will do for us and how He will encourage us and help and strengthen us. So it's through these pressures, these challenges, this stress that we're going through, if the Lord is in the forefront of our minds, we're not just going to hear of Him, we're not going to hear people talking about Him, but we're going to see Him. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 11th verse, I have learned in whatever state I am, there be to be content. I want you to contrast that with what he says in 2 Corinthians 11th chapter, beginning in verse 23. Remembering what Mark said this afternoon about the thorn that Paul had in his flesh, in this chapter he's going to mention some other things. He says, and speaking in contrast for those that were trying to mislead the Corinthians, he said, I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes more above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. At night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in parables in the city, in parables in the wilderness, in parables in the sea, in parables among false brethren. And he said, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, and besides the other things, what come upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. I've learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. How could he say that? How could he say that? It no doubt didn't feel good at the time. But he knew and had confidence in God that he would see him through it. And even if he did lose his life, remember what he said in Philippians 1:21, that it's okay. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So the second point that I want to stress is learn to be content in Christ. Learn to cope with the things that the Christian life is going to present to you. Because there is light at the end of the tunnel, and the light is the sun, the S-O-N. He will be there. He will be there to help us and to comfort us. Paul's stress was tempered by his hope in Christ. And that's what saw him through. So what is our attitude? Running from or avoiding responsibility doesn't relieve stress. It only prolongs it. We procrastinate someday. 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 The prodigal son, no doubt, decided that as he looked about him in his youth and saw the things that were happening around him, his father's vineyard and whatever it was, he decided that wasn't for him. I'm going to go out and I'm going to live my life. And I'm going to enjoy life. I want my inheritance now. And he got it and he went out. What did he find? He found out he had it better at home, didn't he? What about Jonah? He knew what the Lord had requested of him in going to Nineveh, but he was afraid the Lord might be right, and he was. So Jonah tried everything he could to avoid what the Lord wanted him to do, but in the final analysis, he found out that all he was doing was running away from his responsibility that his father did know best. So when he did that which was pleasing to the Lord, then he was able to accomplish his purpose. We know what we want, and then when we get it, we wish we didn't have it. Do you think you'll feel that way about heaven? No. Only the things of this life. With our cooperation, God can still make our lives the best that they can be, even if we really mess them up. Mark mentioned in his lesson this afternoon, Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purpose. He doesn't take away the consequences of our mess ups necessarily, but he makes it possible for us to handle them. He doesn't take away the anguish that we might have caused to others, but he does make it possible to endure it and to bear it. He's not going to keep us from doing whatever we want to do, but he is going to be there to catch us when we're ready to come back to him. So why do that to ourselves? Why we have so many examples in Scripture of those who took the way that's not to that would not be pleasing in the eyes of the Lord and was not to their benefit in the final analysis. Jesus said in Luke 21, 34 through 36, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life." Look what he categorizes cares of this life with. "The cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all the things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." The cares of this life, they can weigh us down. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 58, Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain." There is light at the end of the tunnel. Galatians 6, 7 through 9 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Stay the course. Look at what Christ has offered, the course that he has made, the way that he has made for us, that we can go. And we know that he is at the end of it. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter and the 19th verse, it says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. So the stress that comes into our lives, are we being maybe just a little bit short-sighted in what we're seeing? Thinking about what Job said. "I heard of you," but he says, "now I see you." He had experienced God, and he knew what God could do for him. And if he could do that for Job, he certainly can do that for you and me. So we need to stand steadfast. We will be stressed. We're going to be tested. We're going to be tempted. But in managing our stress, remember the two points that I want to stress. Number one, God has equipped us for the purposes that he has for us. And not only has he equipped us, but he will be there to support us, to encourage us, and give us what we need to accomplish his purposes. The second is, no matter what the circumstances, if our hope is in Christ, those circumstances will be okay. Even though it might seem at the moment that we just don't know how we're going to get through it, how we're going to be able to endure, we have so many examples that show us it will be okay. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter and the 3rd verse, he said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Remember those words.